Roll up, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest podcast on Earth! Step right up and experience the magnificence that is the Two Ring Circus Podcast! You'll gasp, you'll laugh, and you'll be amazed at what comes next.
Amazing.
Don't worry about the smell. It's just the stars of our show, Tom Italiano.
Oh, hi.
And Matt Bradshaw.
Did you forget who was who?
Welcome!
We've been together for so long now, we just melded into the same person in our eyes.
Happy New Year!
Yeah. How's that? Amazing.
Amazing.
One of those things.
I know, we made it.
Takes a whole year.
It is actually New Year's Day. In sunny Lara.
It's beautiful.
Solara.
It's a beautiful day.
It is a magnificent day.
Yep.
I rode here.
On your push bike?
Could you imagine?
I could.
Mm.
Yeah.
One of those
blue bikes, those city bikes that you get in the city for half an hour.
Oh my goodness. Not one of those, but I did ride an O-bike a little while ago. Oh. I found one unlocked on the side of the road.
You just had a crack?
Rode from Kensington to the pub.
I cannot believe how poorly thought out that business model is. I cannot believe it.
They must have lost a fortune. What if it's just an insurance scam?
Could be.
What if they just had all the bikes insured for more than level?
I wonder if...
people know what O-bikes
are.
Yeah.
Should we tell them?
Yeah, but surely they do.
So, is it a business around the world or is it...
Yeah. So it started in Singapore, I believe.
Right.
And, of course, it's Singapore, so it's beautifully organised and people are
respectful. You bring that kind of shit to Melbourne and look what happens. People are just like, oh, well, I don't have to drink drive anymore. I'll ride a bike. That's what people do, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's a bike sharing
facility.
It doesn't have docking stations. So you can just pick one up from anywhere, leave one anywhere.
Are they GPS enabled so you know where they are? So if you open up the app on your phone, you're like, oh, there's one three streets away.
Yeah,
it's just lying on the side of the road. Well, I don't know if it's...
Or lying in a ditch.
Or in a river.
Or hung on a fence. Yeah. I got in touch some time ago, earlier last year. I posted a link. I found an article about a guy in Melbourne who just off his own back had decided to start going and rescuing these O-bikes. So, just chucking anchors into the Yarra and hauling out bikes, just rescued all these things. And I reposted his video and he got in touch with me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just great. Just having a crack.
Yeah, that's it's a bit of a... sad thing.
Because I was, really so disappointed in... Do you know, I often have conversations with people where the person I'm talking to will say, fuck, people suck. And I'm like, well, no, people can. Not everyone does. Sometimes people do.
Mm.
But...
And sometimes people who don't usually suck for a little while.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not trying to be rude.
It's the yin and the yang of it. No one's all bad. No one's all good. And
yeah, I commonly say the best and worst thing about Earth is people. Because, I believe that.
I was tremendously disappointed in people. So I'm the guy who says, well, no, people aren't bad all the time and you shouldn't just tar them all with the same brush. But then I see stuff like that and I think, fucking hell, people are dumb. And shitty.
Mm.
So I say that phrase and think, no, well, people just do shitty things sometimes. But look, I'm working through this. Sorry. That's weird, isn't it?
It's New Year's Day and I'm keeping it in.
Why?
Well,
you want me to work through it at my own pace?
Well, no, just because I have a similar feeling about it, but you seem to be a lot more... objective and charitable than I tend to be.
Well, I try to be.
Yeah.
I do genuinely try to be.
I mean, we've spoken about this before as well, about how we earn our money. You know, how we earn our living in front of people who, for the most part, are on their way. They're not just enjoying a quiet drink socially with friends. They're on their way to becoming a menace. Not like I am when I'm drunk, but...
I know some of them.
Yeah, some of them. And or gambling or, you know, just that kind of thing where I often look out into the audience and think, 3 hours' time, I hope you're not here anymore when I'm still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're already...
Do you have friends that come to your gigs that get like that?
I thought they were going to... You were going to... Do you have friends?
Yeah.
come to your gigs that get like that? No.
Right. No. Yeah, I do. And they are the people that, if they weren't my mates, I'd want them gone. So as it is, I cut them that slack because they're my mates and also try to rein them in a bit.
Yeah.
I had a mate of mine come to my gig on Thursday night, which was populated quite substantially by members of the Barmy Army. And this guy is just an instigator. He gets a few drinks under his belt and he's sitting at a table directly in front of me, and these guys are all sitting over here and they're...
Barmy.
Big English dudes. And this guy, he's already had a skinful, walks in with a pint of Guinness, sits down. He doesn't walk in with a pint of Guinness. Walks over from the bar with a pint of Guinness, sits down and says, "Right, we're going to play some Australian songs because the English cricketers are so shit ass." Dude,
do you have to? I think I know who that is.
You probably do.
And I cut him slack too because he's hilarious.
He is, but he's so obnoxious.
Yeah, he is.
He's a really obnoxious drunk. I mean, he's harmless.
Yeah.
Do you know, that's interesting. He is the sort of guy, I cannot believe that someone hasn't punched his fucking head in.
Yeah, but because I know who he is, who we're talking about, when you say he's harmless, you're absolutely right.
He absolutely is.
He's obnoxious, but he's not antagonistic in the sense of he doesn't... Like, I think it's quite obvious to everyone around him he's just playing the smart ass.
Okay. Right.
Because even, like, when I've played and he's been in front of me...
I love
and
that we know who we're talking about.
And, like, he's yelling out, like, his, you know, absurd requests, like, over and over
again.
It's just being silly.
Yeah.
Whereas other people would, you know, it's just they're drunk and stupid, being stupid. It's like, you know how I said I don't know that song, right? You shouting it at me for the next 40 minutes isn't going to make me learn it. I'm not a DJ. I can't fucking download it into my brain and play it. Yeah, you know it. Happened all Saturday night with me and Sam. Some kids like, "Streets of New York." We're like, "What is that?" We don't know what it is. Who sings it? He didn't know. Just knew the song title. I was like, "Well, shut up then." We're actually on the stage going, "Shut up." He then got kicked out because he was an English kid who was really drunk. He's over from the cricket. And then
by the way, making it crap for everyone.
And jumped over the thing to try and get back in. And it got dragged out again. So just clearly some people are stupid. And it wasn't me referencing the fact that he was English. It was just, no. He was over for a good time.
Clearly some people are English.
Oh, yeah. Not allowed to say from the British Isles when you're in an Irish pub, though.
No, you're not.
You're not.
I was surprised you did.
Like I said, I've got a map. I know what they're called.
It was...
it's called Islesland.
No, Christmas not. Eve, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Christmas Eve in an Irish pub with lots of Irish people. Which is... it's why I didn't do my regular standard joke of playing 500 Miles and then saying this is a song for all of my Irish friends. Because I thought they were just edgy enough, drunk enough, to not get the gag.
But that's, we're back to that point of this is what we do for a job and we play in front of people who are there, you know, having a good time. But so often just that we're not having a good time anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you're actually being a jerk.
Yeah, you do have to pick your audience.
Yeah,
I can't. Did we reference this? We did partially. The last time or the time before that we got together when I was talking about the guy who left me the tip and then took half of it back to buy drinks.
Yep. And then stole your drink.
That's right. And his... I don't know if he was his mate or not, but anyway, at the end of the night, he said, "No, you handled that really well." It was fine, man. Mm. He said, no, you just... Like, you know, the cops call this fight night. Do they? Okay. It's like last tradies final blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know if they call it fight night or not. They just
to break up before Christmas.
That
thing.
Sort of thing. Mm. So it was almost entirely populated by tradies and all that sort of stuff and hangers on. And I thought, you know, in the 20 years that I've been playing live, I reckon I can... Oh, God, I can't start counting. That's dumb. But I don't think I've ever had aggression directed towards me in a gig sense.
No, but I've seen you a couple of times deflect it quite... not aggressively, but like... kind of call someone on them being a dick, like when you're playing, and then they're being a dick, you've called them on it, and then
right.
they've backed off.
Yeah,
but
right.
they haven't, therefore,
yeah, come okay. at
you. You know, they're clearly trying to push your button, like, you know, pushing the microphone and stuff like that, and you're like, oh, hey, yeah, man, right. you know. And then
yeah,
the amount
okay.
of times are like, I've clearly warned you enough. Because that's when you use the phrase dickhead. Like, you get the, you like, you don't say dickhead, you say dickhead, come on. You get all Jeff Beneke on them.
Do I?
Yeah, I've seen that a few times. I very rarely have either, but I also I've not really been a front man in a band at all. And acoustic duo stuff, I find.
Yeah, it lends itself to not being like that. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Plus, just the time. Like, if you're in an acoustic duo, you're probably not playing until 2 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, when you know, that it's like that magical witching hour of 1 till 2 when people are now way, way too drunk and they really should not be getting served anymore.
Yeah.
But they're still somehow, I've got 3 more pints. And the reason I've got 3 more pints between 1 and 2 a.m. is because they keep putting them down and go, oh, I need a drink.
Yeah, yeah,
bar,
yeah.
Another one.
Yeah, good point.
And that's when people get, that's when the fights happen. But I haven't seen, having said that, the amount of trouble at gigs has just disappeared completely in the last 10 years, I reckon.
Like, when I started to say I can count on, yeah. oh, well, that's just silly, but I don't see
2000, 2005, there was a fight every gig I did, no matter what. You know, it was real trouble all the time, and yeah, much, much less of it.
I always used to think when we were
smoking. I reckon that has whittled out a huge part of a demographic that goes out.
You mean smoking makes people aggressive?
Not smoking that makes people aggressive, but...
kidding. Smokers are aggressive and now they don't go out anymore.
Perhaps partially.
Really?
I think there's a small demographic that would be the drink and smoke and fight and crew.
Yeah,
but
my mum used to smoke and she was pretty aggressive.
My mum, she's terrible. but if I wonder if it's that you want to go out for a smoke, most places you can't take a drink.
Mm.
So every 8 minutes, when someone's drunk, they want to go out for a smoke, they're not drinking anymore. So they're not, they don't do that.
Okay.
I want, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, all those people who say, I only smoke when I drink.
Yeah.
And they can't
they
drink
can't
while
drink
they're smoking.
When they smoke. but I was just saying, like...
That's pretty good.
Like, if I really think about it, it was really around the time when the smoking ban came in that I stopped seeing brawls. Because people weren't permanently stuck in the room with a drink in their hand all the time. I think that's...
I certainly used to think as well that...
there isn't more security on. There's less security than there ever has been.
No.
And often places don't have it. They have a bartender who's got a license.
Not very good.
Well, they're very much... I think there's... Certainly when there's not a lot of security, they stay away as long as they possibly can because they know that they... are outnumbered.
I think there's some places that you and I have played at over the last few years where they employ cheap security.
Yeah. That's...
I don't just mean not many of them. I mean the ones that are there are kind of cut rate.
Yeah.
And they perform their job in a cut rate way.
Mm. I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
Some of those venues aren't open anymore anyway.
I was going to say as well, I always used to think... I do think about it now. I think it about the band now. G-Force, when you and I were doing it together and all that sort of stuff. So, sorry, I don't mean to mention the war. Shut up.
It's out of my heart now.
That the sort of music we played didn't lend itself to being aggressive crowd
no,
friendly.
No, we weren't a grungy band. Or
no.
A big rock band.
And
when we played rock, it was like the Final Countdown or something.
Yeah, and we had the other stuff under our belt. I mean, we certainly did do Killing in the Name Of or... Into Sandman. But we didn't do it on nights where We did it on the nights when some 22-year-old girl would request Enter Sandman, not five drunken idiots in the corner. This is all under the umbrella of Pick Your Battles.
Yeah, and that does also mean that if your first two sets are, you know, upbeat, dancey, you know, maybe light rock stuff, that those guys who want to hear that are left by the time you play Enter Sandman. They're not in the building.
Yeah.
I just want to just double check that we're all in frame.
Oh, right.
I mean, I'm clearly...
Oh, because I've leant a long way out.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, we're all good.
Okay.
Actually, let's continue this podcast from here.
What, with just me in shot?
Kind of like an interview.
Let's not. My voice is shot to pieces. I don't quite understand why.
You know what I did last night?
What did you do last night?
Because we've all done a lot of gigs the last few weeks, and I'm tired, really tired. I got home, and I massaged my throat with arnica cream for like 20 minutes, like until my hand was like falling apart. And I've woken up this morning feeling quite mellow, and I wonder if it's why I woke up at 7:30, like because I got rest. You know, like
really?
Sometimes you know you don't have a lot of sleep, but you wake up and go, I feel rested. I haven't slept enough, but I feel way better than I would if I usually have 8 hours. So
okay.
Magic cream.
Yep. Did you say Monica like the honey?
No, arnica.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce Monica like the honey?
I don't think I've ever said it.
Oh,
Manuka.
Me too.
Yeah, Manuka. I would say that.
I'd like to know why. I'd like to know what's correct. I've always said Manuka, but I thought you said Monica, and I've heard someone else say that, and I thought...
Well, Arnica is A-R-N-I-C-A. That's...
Yes.
Yep.
What's that made of?
Oh, I can't remember.
Okay.
But something. It's made of something.
Yeah. I've found, and I've been on the planet a little while, that most things are.
Most things are made of things?
Mm.
Whoa. Do you know it takes a whole year? To make a year?
I did a private house party for New Year's Eve last night.
I didn't know you were a DJ.
In Berwick.
Berwick?
My mother's maiden name.
Berwick?
Yeah. Oh, that means I have to change all my fucking passwords now.
No, that's just the question.
Yeah.
If you forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, now they're halfway there.
Don't tell me the Lucky next memory. Password's your favourite song, Living on a Prayer. What's your favourite song?
That's funny. Could you imagine
what if was your my first pet song name? Was... We just give everything away.
So, big property in Berwick. I didn't know that Berwick had places like the one I played at last night.
Yeah.
It was kind of mansion-y.
Yeah, right.
It was only been built 12 months ago.
Also, new mansion-y.
New mansion.
Obviously, that's finally
in new mansion.
Yeah.
Right. So, I drove along. I got to the house number, and it was just a driveway through a field.
Tract of
a
land.
A hillside. Well, it doesn't feel like a paddock when it's a lovely sweeping rise.
Meadow.
A sweeping rise. Meadow. Right.
Tundra.
No, it was summer. So, our shorter driveway. It's about half a kilometre long.
There's a rotunda.
I'm halfway up, and there's an old couple. There's a joining fence line. The two driveways are basically parallel to one another. Old couple dragging their bins down the half a K.
Yeah.
Turns out that guy, who's in his 90s now, used to own... all that land and just subdivided and sold off bits. I don't know how big this place was, but the guy who owns the place I played at last night actually has black-faced sheep on the property and stuff like that. What are they called?
Black-faced sheep? The merino?
I'm not sure. I thought you'd know, being a farm boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Mutton and lamb is all I know.
Mutton fresh and dressed up as... So I... So, I'm inside. They're on the hillside overlooking Melbourne City. It's crazy. Just like 180 degrees of city lights. So,
did you see the fireworks?
Everywhere, dude. Every firework display that was... I didn't know that's what happened in Melbourne. I thought they just had... Like in Sydney, I thought they just had fireworks on the bridge.
Well, they've done that in Melbourne to disperse the crowds. Because otherwise everyone goes into the one place.
Yeah, right. It's
absolute insanity.
So was it 22 locations or something, I think I read this morning?
I don't know, but I can't get my head around the expense.
Neither can I. 14 tons of fireworks.
Yeah, same with the amount of money they spend on in the city on Christmas decorations and stuff like that.
It's fucking wild, isn't it?
Just... I'd love to see the numbers of what they think the projected return in revenue is for doing something like that. Because
that's not why they do it, though, surely.
Well, I can't understand how they can justify the expense otherwise. It's like, it's the same thing as going...
I think they justify it as like a lovely public service. Like, here's a thing that we can get everyone involved
in. Sure, I think everyone would be much happier to just reduce the cost of parking in the city.
If there was a referendum, yes.
Don't spend $45 million on fireworks or whatever it is. It's probably something, well, maybe not that much, but, $10 million. Don't spend that and spend it on this.
Hmm.
Spend it on homeless shelters. Spend it on feeding these people. Spending on,
First thing I thought of when you said about the Christmas decorations thing, and then you've got just, people sleeping rough under the fucking trees that have got lovely red sashes on them. Gives me the shits.
Yeah, absolutely bothers me.
Like when we're in Rome and we're in the shadow of the Vatican and there's people sleeping on fucking bits of cardboard. What the fuck's going on here?
There's like literally thousands of priceless bits of historical artwork.
And the Pope blessing everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck off.
Well, that's got to be worth something.
Sorry, everyone. It's okay. It's New Year's Day. Nothing changes on New Year's Day. I should have done that last night at midnight while everyone's watching the fireworks. I do this plaintive rock ballad. I'm going to come back to... I'm just writing down fireworks cost because I want to...
We're going to find that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get...
We're going to have to start getting someone to come in and write stuff on a whiteboard while we talk so we can come back to it afterwards. Do you ever see Bedil and Skinner Unplanned? Bedil and Frank Skinner? That was American Rosso's terrible, terrible, terrible knockoff.
They knocked off Skinner and Skinner.
Yeah. You've just got these two charming, erudite English people doing beautifully funny, clever... off-the-cuff, quick-witted comedy, and then you've got American Rosso. So there's fireworks going off all over the city skyline. There's a guy standing next to me. I said, you know what? Except for all the colours, this is what the apocalypse is going to look like.
No, it'll look way better. The apocalypse will be something to behold.
But it was like watching a movie where you, as the protagonist, are... somehow you've managed to get away from the alien attack. It's fucking crazy.
It's like the end of Fight Club where all the towers come down and they're standing there.
Yes. Yeah. Only I was some distance away, so I wasn't even going to be affected by it. It's exactly what it was like. It was kind of funny, but actually a bit kind of, that's a bit creepy and weird.
I do love that there's a thing where people will congregate and they go and it's something quite special to go and be together in the city at the same time. But it's like, I think it's New Year's Eve. If you're going to make a big deal out of a new year, then you don't need all the shit. Just have some cool things happening in public spaces, some concerts or whatever.
Mm.
But it's just the money.
Yeah,
I know fireworks are beautiful. They are. I'm not saying that it's a big deal about nothing, but the expense. If you want to do things for the community, you can spend that money better.
I agree, mate.
And the other thing is, of course,
no argument for
where are they getting the money from? They're really just literally robbing Peter to pay Paul because they're getting it from parking fines. They're getting it from like all that thing where they're aggressively out trying to raise revenue, and then they say, "Oh, we spend this to make Melbourne a nice place to be," like.
Yeah, good point.
And I'm not saying that people should be allowed to park infinitely in the city without, repercussions, because obviously you know, you need to move your car on so other people can share that space. But
I don't agree.
I don't know.
I think leave your car there. If you're going to pay, leave your fucking car there. Anyway. Because not that... That's boring. Boring. Start talking about parking.
I would say just bring in a London, city driving tax.
No.
Yeah.
I have to drive there.
It's okay.
It's not okay. It already costs me so much to drive on the freeway every day. And I have to.
Mm,
I swear by...
We decided to buy cheap houses far away from the city and ended up probably spending the same amount of money as if we just bought an expensive one in the
city. No. That's not true. It's not true.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Hey, if anyone's watching this right now, you'll notice I'm wearing a kind of pink/red t-shirt.
You actually look like you're about to head upstream to spawn.
I'm salmon-y. Yes. I wouldn't be spawning though. Mm? I'm a boy. Don't do eggs. I mean,
it's all pink in the dark.
Hopefully. The reason I'm wearing this is because this is the gift I got from my brother for Christmas. I got two coloured t-shirts and he made me a magnetic poem. Would you like to read it?
I'm going to.
Yeah.
Colour is the thing that I lack, as the t-shirts I wear are mostly black. Your brother.
Yep.
That's good.
So I didn't have a gig the Thursday before Christmas. I was going to meet a friend in the city and I was crook. And so I came home. I came back. And he was in my house. I was like, oh, what are you doing here? And my brother cannot lie. Cannot. And he's like, you busted me. You busted me. I'm making a present. He's like, I was sure Thursday night you'd be at a gig. You'd be out.
That's
and
funny.
So I thought, because all my family got keys to the house. And that was, so the magnetic poem I did that night was, some people hate surprises. I'm not one of them. Because I just loved it. I love that he thought to do that, given that's what I've been doing, that silly project for a year.
That's great.
But it's very cute.
Is it a year? Is it a whole year?
Yeah. It's slightly more than a year, but
yeah, right.
I did it for the whole of 2017.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to continue.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? You're not out of ideas. You've got more shit to say.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I'm just going to say the same things again. See if people notice.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
No, I'm not. Yes.
So, moving forward with this year.
Yes.
We definitely need to get some guests on.
Yes.
Is that your bike? No, I hope not. I did leave my keys in it.
Oh. Didn't sound like your bike.
Nah, yeah. mine's a little older than that. I got all my points back.
I've got 11 months to go.
Driver's license. Oh, you on a one-pointer?
Yeah.
Oh, did I know that?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we've discussed it before on the solo.
But you're on a one-pointer?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why I had a big rant and rave over the fact that we should get more...
We should be allowed
more points because we drive more than most people.
Again, you will get no argument from me.
Although I got an argument from someone last night when we were talking about it. She said, I drive about 50,000 k's a year and I haven't lost that many points.
Did you tell her she drives like a girl?
She was a girl. No, I didn't say that.
Did you give her your t-shirt to wear and tell her she should head upstream?
No. Well, that's a really nice way of telling someone to fuck off. Go spawn upstream.
Who were you supposed to meet on last Thursday when you were crook?
Leader.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what you're about to say.
I'm not going to say it.
What have you got to say?
2017 wrap-up.
A wrap-up.
I made some notes.
You did. Good.
Remember we were going to talk about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't make notes, so I'll just riff with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need to make notes because I forgot what I saw.
All right. Mm. What do we got? Wrap it up.
What's your favourite movie?
I think it's still Gifted.
Okay.
Yeah, even a week later.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's lovely. Really nice film.
I was tempted to say, not favourite, but certainly it was the one that sprang straight into mind, the Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
And then I put that aside because I thought, I've just seen that. It's like fresh.
Yeah.
It's like when they do the Triple J Hottest 100. And in the top 10, there's like songs that just happen to have come out in the last 2 weeks because they're the ones that people remember the most.
Fair enough, yeah. I thought you were about to say it's like when you're eating pizza and this is the best pizza I've ever had. Like every pizza is the best pizza you've ever had.
Pizza's pretty good,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got all the...
It's got everything you need.
It's got bread and it's got all the sauce and...
Obviously says it's got bread
salty
in it.
And...
Yeah.
Huh?
It's got bread in it.
Yeah. Oh, that, I should
have stopped there. It's only anything else.
The Nice Guys. That was this year, wasn't it?
No, I don't think it was. I think it was late.
I think it was.
Okay. But that is a remarkably good film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which really flew under the radar. I don't think many people know about it.
Arrival was one as well, but I think that was the year before as well.
Ah.
Blade Runner
was...
You're
right, Nice Guys, 2016.
Blade Runner was great.
I was really... I was hesitant about Blade Runner for two reasons. One, that I saw the trailer and thought...
Terrible
it didn't job. Look very good at all. And second, that I hadn't seen the other 2047 films between Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049. I just thought, might lose the thread.
I think I feel like I liked Blade Runner more than I did because I just saw Star Wars. And I thought, if you compare this is not so much a franchise, Star Wars is a franchise, but it's a sequel, and what they did with it and just the story and how beautifully it was shot, and yeah, just I thought it was very, very good.
So good.
Yeah, it was great. But like I said, he's the guy that did Arrival.
Yeah,
you know, it's just I was watching it, I didn't know that he directed it, and I was watching it going, I reckon this is the same director. Because it just had that kind of vibe.
Enemy? Was that his as well?
Yeah. Oh, phenomenal film. Mm.
Okay.
Year before, another one that is now like, you know, a video shoppy kind of one is Demolition. You just said the Enemy, Jake Gyllenhaal, Demolition.
Yeah, Demolition's fantastic.
Yeah. I can watch. That's a Good Will Hunting type film for me. I could watch that once a month, happily.
That the vending machine one?
Yeah.
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 Super film. In fact, I think you recommended that to me.
Yeah, really good.
If memory serves, which it usually doesn't. Baby Driver.
Great film.
Logan Lucky. Did you see that?
I haven't seen it, no.
It's good.
I saw the trailer while I was projecting Dunkirk.
I never saw Dunkirk. I didn't get there. I
didn't see it properly.
Huh? You didn't?
I just projected it for 3 weeks. Oh, so yeah, right. I didn't actually watch it.
Didn't see La La Land. Either at the cinema... when you told me to, nor indeed since then.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And a lot of reasons why people have said they disliked it, I think they wanted it to be something that it wasn't.
Right.
You know, like, it's like, they really should, if they're going to do musicals, they really should get, you know, singers
proper
to
singers,
do.
Blah,
it's
blah,
like,
blah.
Yeah, but they don't play singers. Like, and one's a piano player and one's an actress. They're not. So, like, why would you get...
Yeah.
I mean, if they're meant to be singers or if they're just meant to be show people, then sure. But...
Or if it's no or people if they're not, like show people.
No, it's true. Yeah. Sorry, continue. I keep wanting to touch your Paddy Knees.
Paddy Knees.
Yeah, because... No, he's not Irish, no. Because you rode your bicycle.
I did ride my bicycle.
you brought your knee pads. Is that because you take corners wildly?
No.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting about riding a motorbike and getting ready to go for a ride. This part of me, I love riding a bike, and I've only been doing it for 3 years. Always wanted one.
Yeah.
Always wanted one. Ever since I was a kid, we might have said this. When I was a little kid and people would ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I used to say I wanted to be a dentist on a motorbike.
Oh, that's adorable.
I have no idea why. I'd never been on a motorbike, so...
That's like the making of a comic strip superhero. Yeah.
So I had never ridden one. Maybe rode my mate's Pee Wee 50 when I was 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10, 11 years old. Even then, I'm not sure that I did, because I might not have been allowed to, or I might have been frightened that if I did, my parents would kill me, which they would if they found out now that I'm riding a bike.
Ah. They listen to the podcast.
They do not listen to the podcast.
Well, I keep saying bicycle anyway.
They are not on Facebook. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We do, however, my parents and I have some mutual friends on Facebook, and I noticed I went out yesterday for a ride because I had an unexpected afternoon off. I had a gig that got blown out about 10 days out from the gig. And it was a beautiful day yesterday, so I took the opportunity to ride into, I went to Red Hill.
Oh, great.
Yeah, great. So I put probably 80, 90 Ks on the bike yesterday.
Strawberries?
No, I didn't. I went to Red Hill Brewery.
Oh.
And had chili beans. Mm. And mac and cheese. Yeah, it's great. Out.
End of the year in style, Rachel.
I did. I walked up to the counter and she said, oh, just to let you know, we're sold out of lots of stuff. And she showed me the menu, which is just like a little snacky menu. So they've got the brewery part and then around the corner they've got like a subcontractor, like a third party group that just uses the premises and does it. So there's only probably 10 things on the menu. And all the meat stuff was sold out. And there was just... Yeah. No, it's like, oh, I'm a stupid vegetarian. I just want those two. Another is that too much? Is
another
too
film
much?
For the list.
Great together. Oh, go on.
Hell or High Water.
Really?
You seen that?
No, don't know about it.
I'll write it down. Jeff Bridges.
I love him.
Chris Pine. And the guy who I could never remember his name, and he's always this amazing character and everything, but he's never the lead.
Harry Dean Stanton.
No. Anyway... about two brothers.
Right, though.
About two brothers of Rob Banks.
I don't mean that it's Harry Dean Stanton, just that he's excellent.
The two brothers of Rob Banks and Jeff Bridges is the sheriff. But it has the single greatest cafe scene I've ever seen in a film.
Really?
Yeah.
Better than Pulp Fiction?
Yeah. Yeah. Shorter as well, but when I say...
All right, honey.
It's, they go into this place and they're trying to order and the waitress is, you know, old battle axe. It's just the way she says, this is what you can have. You're like, I won't ruin it. It's
okay.
It's an incredibly good film.
All right. I just put it on my list.
That scene in itself, just like I was watching it going, this has been really good and worth it just for that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, really funny.
Okay, good. So I posted some pictures on Facebook and then I noticed that one of my parents and my mutual friends had... So I sent her, I woke up this morning and thought,
tell mum.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Did you send her a message?
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be a secret. Because what are my parents going to do from 800 kilometres away? They're just going to fucking worry all the time. And what's
Why?
The point of that?
Why are they going to do that?
And my dad would probably disown me. Be furious if he found out I had a motorbike.
So your parents...
Yes.
See, when did you move out of home? How old are you?
No, 20.
So you're 20. So your parents have a 37-year-old son.
Yeah.
Right? Who doesn't live at home anymore.
Yeah.
And they would live in a different state.
Yeah.
And you think they would disown you for owning a motorbike?
Yeah. My father, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mum, see, I'm such a jerk, I would test the waters.
Yeah, I don't have that relationship with my parents.
Well, you're not a jerk either, but if I thought my dad would disown me for anything, I would do it.
Well, you wouldn't, because you haven't got any piercings.
No, but that's it. You never threatened to disown me.
You just threatened to do one for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
But in this scenario, has your dad said, just so you know?
More or less.
Dead set.
No, he said things like,
I will disown you.
I think people who ride motorbikes are bloody idiots. Why would you put yourself in so much danger?
Absolutely true. Completely logical thing to say.
Mm.
Yeah. Incredibly dangerous.
My mum's dad used to ride a Harley Davidson.
Doesn't mean he would disown you.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have a valid point and still like
the
son.
And they would just worry, what's the point? What's the... There's no upside to it. There's no upside to it.
Sure, okay.
They're 900 kilometres away. Worried about any time there's a bit of nice weather or whatever. Fucking whatever. There's lots of stuff I just don't share with my parents because they would be concerned about me.
But your parents would be...
I was in hospital, I didn't tell them until after I was cured that I was sick.
Oh, that's no good, man.
Dude, what's the point?
The point is that what if you didn't get sick? What if you didn't get better? Now, what if one day you go out for a ride and you get killed on a bike and then they're still alive and they're going, oh my God, he had a bike, he didn't even tell us. Which, of course, you can't worry about, because if you're dead, you can't worry about it anyway. But, like, that's the...
But then it's the... That's just the moment they were, oh, he didn't even tell us. We're distraught that he's gone, but we didn't have to worry for...
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think that's how people work. I think people would be like, the little fucking shit didn't tell us. He could have told us, and then we could have worried. I don't know about that. My mum says, I'm your mother, it's my job to worry, which I disagree with. But if she thinks it's her job, it's her job. So, like, it's not my opinion about what she thinks her job is irrelevant in her world. Like, you know, so yep. I feel like for me, and that makes sense. I'm not a parent. I don't understand, but I can empathise. If I had a kid, I'd be kind of concerned about their welfare all the time. So I kind of figure if they think that that's their job, I should just tell them everything that I do. So, because I would rather them be worried because they already think that's their job to be worried than be angry if something happened to me and they didn't know about it. They would feel deprived of knowing about the thing that they wanted to worry about. That's my parents. I'm not saying that's yours. And I'm not arguing with you in this sense of, I think you should do something different. Like, man, it's totally your perspective. But I'm just saying, like,
I hate
lie down the middle. This is what I do, and that's what you do.
I hate that it suggests a lack of open relationship between my parents and I, like, and everything that stands for. I don't like that.
I'm not.
No, I know you're not. I don't like that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I feel like what you're saying is why, like, I think I know these people well enough to think that they would be concerned unnecessarily.
Mm.
But it is that thing of if they feel like that's their thing, because parents often do, you know, like, my thing is I want to worry about my kid. Like, that's, I want to know that if they're going to do something dangerous, I would rather know about it than one day wake up and feel like they couldn't tell me they were doing something dangerous.
It's been a recurring theme in my interpersonal relationships my entire life that I tend to have the conversation with myself before I have it with the other person.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But also make a decision about how they're going to react.
Yeah.
And adjust my behaviour accordingly without actually having the conversation with them. I know how unfair that is. I know how kind of... I've often described it as patronising, because I don't actually give the other person the opportunity to have their own reaction to it. I've already decided in my own head and heart what they're going to do.
But that's also...
I've done it forever. I still do it.
Mechanism for yourself. That's your self-preservation technique too.
Yeah, it is. That makes it sound really quite selfish. I don't think that was your intention.
No, I don't know. Self-preservation is not selfish. It's,
you don't think?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying, yeah, it's certainly not a selfish thing. It's like, in order for you to feel, if you think that what you're doing is going to bother someone, you would rather them not know about it because you don't want to bother them. Mm. You don't want to upset them.
Mm.
That's not selfish.
Okay.
But what that also does is it means that you therefore don't have to deal with the idea that you're aware of someone feeling upset about something or worried or concerned. Yeah. So that you're protecting yourself, because they're like, well, if what they don't know won't hurt them, and if they don't know, I can't feel bad about them hurting.
Mm.
Makes sense.
Mm.
And it's not bad.
No.
It's common.
Yeah. How dare you call me common? American Honey. Did you see that?
No, is it Shia LaBeouf?
Yes.
I love him.
He's good.
A fucking incredible.
He's
incredible
a guy. Very, very talented
weird
actor.
And I love him.
Yeah, he's definitely an oddball.
Yeah.
Andrea Arnold, female director, also directed Big Little Lies, TV miniseries thing.
Yeah, apparently that's phenomenal. Yeah.
Fucking great. Mm. She's really good. And she's only kind of new. She's done some TV stuff, like episodes of series, anthology stuff, but she's good. Yeah. That was my other one.
Cool.
Oh, and Jasper Jones, Aussie film.
I didn't see that, yeah.
Yeah, good. Also female director. I can't remember her name. Rachel. Perkins. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I've got a disappointing one.
Uh-huh. So have I. It's not a film, though. It's a documentary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just the videos on my phone.
Oh, I didn't write it down. So there you go. So, oh, because I'm a positive focus guy.
You don't want me to worry about the film you didn't like.
That's right. Yeah, go on. What do you got?
Oh, I don't think I do.
Oh.
No, I meant... I was just joking. Like... I love this thing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So I've got this thing when I'm on the bike, when I'm getting ready to go for a ride, that, like, if I didn't have to wear a helmet, if I didn't have to wear a helmet, I wouldn't, because I love it. I like, you know, no jacket, no, like, just, because the reason I love the bike is you're kind of in the elements. I don't mean at the mercy of fucking passing traffic or anything. Like, riding out in Red Hill yesterday was beautiful. There was hardly anyone around. Windy roads and just great. I had a helmet on. But I love it. Like, you're completely immersed, except for this big black thing on your head. You're completely immersed in everything that's going on.
Black thing. Yeah.
So all the smell, like the diesel fumes and the bloody cow pats as you're riding past the thing and roadkill. Like, you smell roadkill as you ride.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it all. You're just so, you really accept that you've got this thing on. You've got this big armour-plated jacket on. And so when I do big rides, I actually wear, like, these Kevlar jeans and stuff. Kevlar, they're not just, like, they're, because I can't,
because you get shot.
Because I don't wear leather.
Being a jerk on a bike and making a lot of noise in the serene country.
I don't make a lot of noise. No, I actually haven't got a really noisy bike.
Good boy.
I'd love a big noisy bike. Yeah. I'd love a big noisy car. But then when other people drive them, I think, you fucking obnoxious dick. Go away and don't do that around me. It's so unnecessary.
Yeah, it is.
But I put on all this gear and I feel like I'm setting myself up for an accident.
There's a little bit of that about it. Yeah.
So I feel like tempting fate isn't the phrase I'm looking for. I can't think of the correct...
Well, it's manifesting, isn't it? Right. Just going to wear all this protective gear so that when...
Yeah. Where I feel like... Because I don't actually think anything bad is ever going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Motorbikes probably don't count. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to get any terrible diseases or anything like that. Aside from the one I've had. But I got better.
Yeah.
My parents arrived from Adelaide the day I was getting discharged when they turned up at the hospital.
And you picked me up from the hospital?
And I was arguing with the staff.
Gotta go. I've got to cook for mum.
Yeah.
What else have you got
in the wrapper? I accidentally signed myself out.
How does it accidentally?
I signed the wrong piece of paper.
Oh, good.
And so they discharged me. Against doctor's orders. That was how I... Did you know that? That was how I eventually got out of hospital.
No.
Yeah.
I believe.
Anyway. I'm dying up here. I think I mentioned that before. Jim Carrey produced show about the comedy scene in New York in the 70s.
Yes.
Fucking great.
Cool, I haven't seen that.
Penny Dreadful.
How do I watch that?
You can watch that on Stan.
Okay.
As I think you can Penny Dreadful, which is...
phenomenal.
Have you seen it?
I've seen 5 or 6 episodes.
So, you've seen more than me.
2 years ago when I was living with my... three and a half years ago I was living with my sister and Kit. It just came out.
Yes, and I was going to say, I'm aware that it's not 2017, but it was for me.
Phenomenal. Well, I watched a few things this year like that. Taboo.
Which I think I heard about but haven't seen.
Yep. Very good.
Really?
Very, very good. Dark, incredibly stylized, arty, not mainstream, but very good.
Great.
To do Ozark, which is on Foxtel.
Yes. Which I've not seen.
Same kind of thing. Completely different, but like kind of unlike Taboo, which looks like it had an incredible budget. This Ozark looks like it was like a Netflix thing that could be super cheap, like, but just done in a way that makes it, you know, look classy. Great script, incredible acting. And the one about the FBI... serial killers. Anyway, that one was good.
Good.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a lot of new stuff. I didn't feel... When I sat down and tried to think about what I'd done sort of pop culture-wise this year, I couldn't pinpoint a whole bunch of stuff. But I do tend to watch TV series more than I do movies, which is weird. I can sit down and watch two episodes of something rather than one movie and feel like my brain engages because I'm only engaged for 45 minutes instead of 2 hours. Well, I was going
to
say,
like, I often watch a movie from at home. If I don't go to the cinema, if I'm at home, I don't watch a full movie.
Yeah.
Like, I watch it over 3 or 4 days. Or, like, over a week, you know, in 3 or 4 sittings.
I woke up this morning wide awake at about 6:10 and watched a horror movie and then went back to sleep.
Fuck.
What?
How can you watch horror movies? It's the reason why I haven't seen more of Penny Dreadful, because it was terrifying.
It is
terrifying.
It's graphic and gory.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. She's amazing in that.
But Mr. Robot, which I don't think you've seen.
No, I have. Yeah.
Oh.
I've seen the first 2 seasons, though.
So good.
Yeah. Very good.
And Better Call Saul.
Never seen it.
No, because you haven't seen Breaking Bad.
No.
So it's the prequel to that.
All right.
Fuck, it's good.
Yeah, okay.
It's so good. It's a real slow burn.
I still haven't seen more
impeccably
than
written and
7 minutes of Game of Thrones.
No, no, and I never will.
No.
They don't deserve us.
I agree.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Didn't read any books.
What? Mate, well, you're at the Lara Library now. You can borrow whatever you want. You've got a membership.
That's weird. I used to read heaps and not watch much TV.
Oh,
and it's definitely changed. I definitely watch more TV now than
more
I ever
have before.
You've become
a normal member of society where you spend most of your waking hours at work or working. And so when you unplug, you...
Totally it.
Go for...
I know, I've said to you before, I watch TV on my phone.
Oh, that's not good.
In bed.
Don't do that.
Just propped up against the other pillow. No, no, and I'll be awake for maybe
8 seconds.
3 or 4 minutes. Yeah, and I'm out.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Turn one of your rooms in your house into a reading room.
No.
Where it's just a place you go to read.
Yeah, I've kind of got one of those rooms.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
I don't know, yeah. Little Fires Everywhere, though, was a novel I read, which was spectacularly good.
Did you read a book this year?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
Oh, did I say I didn't read any books?
I think so.
No, I did. I didn't.
Didn't read a book?
Oh, no. I read a lot, but I only read...
Actually read heaps.
I did read heaps, but I actually only read one new.
Yeah.
No, even that's not true. I probably only read one book that came out this year, which was this one, Little Fires Everywhere.
I picked up a book about 4 months ago.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah, it was heavy.
Mm.
It's called 365, and it's a guy who wrote a short story every day for a year.
Okay.
And the only stipulation is that each story had to be exactly 365 words.
Oh, for fuck.
Fucking awesome. It's really good. This is one thing where he writes this story about
People
this.
Are mad.
He writes an obituary, and then the next story, right, is the exact same story, but every noun is...
That's not my bike.
Every noun is replaced with the next subsequent noun from the dictionary. So, like, if it was John the Aardvark, it would be...
Oh, here we go.
Johan. The...
Anteater.
So, well, no, it would be a noun of something. So it would be something else, like the armadillo, at least, whatever. No, no, whatever. Really, really. So then you're reading it, and then they're right on the next
Anteater
page.
Comes before armadillo.
I know.
That's why I said it.
So it's nonsensical, but it's just brilliant. Yeah. So it's been really good. I haven't read the whole thing, but it's really cool. It's taken my magnetic poem thing and just gone crazy. Yeah.
All right.
Gifted, like, he's a writer, like, but it was an extra kind of project he did. Really good.
Okay. Good. A book of poetry came out this year that I was not interested in, but I was interested in the fact that it came out, called Now We Are 600, which is the poems of A.A. or poetry written in the style of A.A. Milne, but all about Doctor Who.
Wow.
Because, you know, Now We Are 6, the A.A. Milne.
Yeah. That's cool.
So geeky.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that.
I don't know how long we've been talking. Should we go away?
Yeah. Okay. No, we've got. Have you got other things? We'll do a wrap up. That's about it. All we do is just work and watch movies and TV.
Little bit of music.
Yeah, we played some music.
No, as in Fleet Foxes. New Fleet Foxes album's really good.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
The new album by The National. Do you like them?
I do that thing with them and go, this is very good. Well, I can't connect with it.
Okay.
Yeah. I just find, I'm 100% about the lyric.
Yeah, okay.
Like, and so I like sounds and I like when people have got great voices and that kind of stuff, but you just so often I go, I've heard this lyric a million fucking times. Mm. Or this, I don't understand what it's about. This is like arty poetry and I can't connect with it. That's why I like Paul Simon, Billy Joel and Doors, where I just go, this is artful use of common language.
Yeah, of course it is.
It's not
like storytelling, but so emotive and...
Yeah. And it's like, I don't have to...
Like full of imagery, but not...
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not... And when it's dark or it's sad, it's specific.
Mm. So, yeah, yeah, okay.
So you kind of go, we're not, you know... Yeah, like, I don't know. So... Oftentimes I will, which is what I love about Spotify, and I just have the thing playing. I'll be like, this sounds great. This is a beautiful piece of music. Guy's got a great voice, and like so often with like modern country music as well. Like I listen and just go, can you just write something that's past 10-year-old lyrics? You know, if it sounds like it was written, could be handed in for a primary school English competition. Yeah, and I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. Just like it just doesn't connect. I'm just like I'm 40. Like I'm not, it's not the first time I've heard anyone say, you know, I saw it in your eyes.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is a songwriter can say I saw it in your eyes without using those words.
Sure.
And when they do, I go, that's cool. That's someone who cares about. The thing that is they try and connect with a common experience, but with a way of saying it which they've considered, as opposed to just go, oh, this is the first thing I've written.
Yeah, Doors have got that.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
I haven't seen many interviews with Taylor Goldsmith, but I'd imagine that he just writes first drafts like that.
Yeah,
because that's how he writes. But I would also imagine maybe there's 20 verses, and then from the 20 verses he picks the right bits.
You're a first draft kind of guy though, aren't you?
No.
Really?
Yeah, not at all.
Really?
Not at all. Yeah.
I am, but my songs are much simpler than yours.
I disagree. Mine are harmonically much simpler than yours. I'm just a 1-4-5 writer.
I think lyrically though as well. I write lyrics. Remember, there was a time I used to write lyrics. I've certainly written lyrics that I think, that's really clever. Like, that's...
I haven't.
Clever. Oh, yeah, fuck you. You've got some beautiful imagery in your songs that make me cry.
What I try to do is not write... I don't try to write clever stuff or anything like that. I try to write simple imagery... And I mean simple, so that when you listen to it, you're not stuck on whatever that said while the next lyric is going. You just kind of go, oh, that's nice. Yeah, cool, I get that. But you know, in a different way. So often my first draft of something is the simple thing, and then I go back in and rewrite. Huh. And because I use a rhyming dictionary, that often changes what the second line's going to be or the third line. I find that really helpful for getting out of the...
Humdrum.
Well, the rut of rhyming, you know, she and me, you know, whatever. So I guess my wrap up is I funded an EP for release, and I didn't think anyone would be into it, and they have been.
No.
And you know what? It's been the best part of it, and it continues to happen because people keep putting on the CD for the first time, since they're getting it. They're sending me videos of their kids in the car. Like singing along or like, that's, you know, falling asleep to it, like, just, oh, this is the city we put on when so and so was full. And it's That has been absolutely amazing.
That's great.
And not just one or two. Like
it is very good.
About like a dozen people.
It is very enjoyable.
That's nice. Thanks. Mm. Yeah.
Was it September 2016 that I came down and saw you do a gig?
October, yeah.
October, was it?
Well, it was the first weekend, like second or something of October.
At?
St Kilda.
Yeah.
With Simon and Simon. Not the publishers.
I walked out of that gig because it was awful. I walked out of that gig with every intention of having written and recorded at least half a dozen songs by the time April rolled around.
Yeah.
Did nothing.
Hard to do.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Do you know what you have to do? Well.
No, go on. Tell me what I have to do.
What you have to do. This is why I got someone to produce it. Because I have everything here. I could record it myself. And I just knew that I would never get it done. Because it would never be, I never feel right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's that with me.
It's like, I don't like a guitar sound. I mean, so I paid someone else to record it, and effectively I paid them to say, that's good enough. Or, that's finished.
Shit. Oh, shit.
And it was, I mean, they also, you know, they played on it, and they did a great job, but one of them, and I trusted them to, you know, to kind of go, tell me if I need to rewrite this, you know. Because there's that thing that you just go, and it was, I'll release this EP in February, and it'll be 5 years since the last one.
Yeah.
5 years. I mean, I know a lot's happened to me, breakup-wise and moving houses and travelling the world, all that kind of stuff, but 5 years to add another 6 songs to my catalogue?
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, it's been longer for you. I'm not trying to rub that in. Just saying, but that's how easy it is. That's how easy it is to go, like, so if you kind of go, well, here's my thing and we're going to record it then.
Clearly what I'm actually saying is I can't believe that last year went so quickly, but, you know, everyone says that. And then as you get older, oh, my God, they go even quicker. But
your own music always goes on the back burner.
Yeah, it does.
More than anything.
It always has.
Yeah.
I might talk about that more one other time. I might not. And two other things I'm going to say. One is, War on Drugs is a band I found out about maybe 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I hear something new of them, I like it. And I don't necessarily recognise that it's them. And then I find out it's them. It's like, fuck, of course it is. I really like them.
Cool.
I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
Heard of them. I haven't heard them.
Really cool.
Biffy Clyro is exactly the same for me.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Like, every time I hear something like, what is this? It's phenomenal.
Yep.
And then I find out what it is and I don't pursue it much further. But I've never heard a piece of their music that I didn't go, this is really good.
Yeah. And they're super live.
Have you seen them?
Yeah, I saw them. Because they used to tour with Muse. Oh, they probably still do.
I can't believe we didn't go the other week. On our night off, we're like, I got one night off this week and there's still tickets available. I'm staying home. Europe are touring this year.
Okay.
On a Saturday night in Melbourne.
Are they?
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have gone anyway. I never really cared about them.
Their last couple of records have been
amazing. Yeah, you have said that. Europe are the final countdown.
Yeah, and I'm not,
but they've done so much since
then.
I'm
not a huge fan, but
I don't even know who's in the band now.
It's the same lineup.
But since what? Because didn't John Norum leave?
No, but he's
come
back in the band.
Yeah, right.
For ages.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they, yeah.
Oh, speaking of, we are going to finish up.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm going to, two things.
Yes.
Right, because it was two things.
Yes.
And then we did one of them, yep. But then another one happened.
Yes.
Right. So, with the fact that I'm now a Spotify guy.
Yeah.
And the not being decisive about what it is that I want to listen to.
Yes.
I find that music is just kind of washing over me now.
Yes.
And I think I'm becoming like everyone else, that music's less important to me.
Right.
In the sense that I'm not choosing what I listen to. It's just a whole bunch of stuff that's coming at me, like listening to the radio, except that's why I don't listen to the radio, because I don't get to choose what I'm listening to.
Yes.
which is exactly the same thing as Spotify, except not interspersed by fucking inane DJs.
Yes.
So Spotify's fine. Yeah. So I've found heaps of new music.
Yeah.
But I find one song because Spotify gives me songs that sound like...
Oh, it does have a... If you've got it on the computer, it does have a thing where it's got related artists.
Yes.
So you don't have to go through a playlist. You can just suggest and you can listen to all their stuff. I found a guy, John Fulbright, American guy. Like, amazing songwriter. Great voice, but, you know, in that vein of doesn't write first draft lyrics, like sounds like a lot of work's gone in to making simple stuff sound beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
And cared for, you know, in the right.
Do you know a country artist named David Nail?
No.
Came across my desk yesterday.
Last thing? Sorry, I keep rolling. I keep wanting to talk.
Yeah, last thing.
I haven't spoken to you much this year.
Adrian Vandenberg.
Yeah, Whitesnake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mitch LaFon, this journalist, every day, sometimes more than once a day, will do a...
Oh, this guy or this guy post?
Yes.
I hate them.
So do I.
They're awful.
They're dumb. God bless him. He's generating content.
Yeah, it's great. That's what he's doing. I like the conversations.
But I click through to see what people are saying. I'm interested in that. But the this or that, this guitarist or that guitarist, this band, this...
Yeah, Eddie or Slash. There was one last week.
Okay. So it was a guitarist one, and Adrian Vandenberg said... Oh, it was CeCe DeVille or Tracy Guns.
Yeah.
Adrian Vandenberg, world-class guitarist, talking about two other...
Chimed in?
Yes. Neither. Nice guys, but don't let either of them pick up a guitar.
Jerk.
What a motherfucker.
What a jerk.
Isn't that a horrible thing to say about your peers.
Yeah.
He clearly doesn't regard them as peers. I mean, that's the whole point, but... What a jerk!
Which is really funny because I would argue and win every time that both of those guitar players are far more influential than Adrian Vandenberg.
Influential, absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, whether this is a good thing or not, I mean, people, you can hold your own opinion. But I play guitar because of CeCe DeVille.
Yeah, right.
If it had not have been for CeCe DeVille, I would never play guitar.
I love that story.
Just like, what? I mean, he just... There's never been a guy. He's just slightly ahead of Eddie Van Halen. Looked like they had so much fun playing guitar.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, and something to believe in. That solo is incredible. I think it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's done some great stuff.
You take the high road. It's a good song. It's a good song.
Well, that's the other thing. I would also argue that I reckon.
Yeah, go on.
CeCe DeVille probably contributed some better songs than Adrian Vandenberg did.
Yep. Yeah.
He'll never see this, hear this, whatever.
No, I'd like him to,
though. I don't care either. Whatever. Don't pick on CeCe DeVille.
Don't pick on either of them.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Dumb.
How's that thing? I just went straight for the underdogs. Like, he's gone for those two guys. I'm like, nah, fuck you, mister.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the stories back in the day when he didn't play on that. Was it the 1987 album that he didn't play on?
Because Vi wouldn't let him or something like that.
Oh, because, you know, he'd hurt his arm, broken his arm or something.
So they called Steve Vai?
Yeah, it was all rubbish. They just wanted, David Coverdale just wanted Steve Vai to play on that album. And Adrian Vandenberg got...
Slip of the tongue.
Slip of the tongue.
Yeah.
And Vandenberg got subbed out. So fuck you.
Fair enough, too. The guitar playing on that album is just out of control.
I don't know, by the way, if that's true. But I remember that being the story back in the day. I know. I especially now, I choose to believe it. Screw you, Vandenberg.
Yeah. Should have a
Not cool Sam, day. Adrian.
I'll play with him on Saturday.
Yeah.
He did this version of Message in a Bottle. And I was sitting next to him, like, I couldn't play. It was that good. It was that good. I was just...
Wow.
There's just something about the energy. Just you know when Sam kind of gets into something, he's playing something, and he's like so into that, so inside that song.
Mm.
He just... Like, I was a couple of times just forgot that I was playing guitar. I was like just in his presence. It was such a great
feeling.
Yeah,
right.
It was really cool. Because it wasn't like, you know, those kind of gigs where you have to be quiet in the corner. We were loud, and it was a gig. Like, it was a ball-tearing gig. and yeah, he was. So it was someone. Well, I know what's really funny is someone requested it, and she was from overseas somewhere, European, and she's like, "Message a bottle." And I said, "Do you know Genie in a bottle?" And he like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." Like, so he knew exactly what she actually asked for, but I've said Genie in a bottle. Like, actually, how about you play Message a Bottle, and I'll do the Christina Aguilera song, which I love. I think it's a great song.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've never, ever been able to listen to it without laughing again since my sister, like, changed the lyric.
Oh, no.
I won't say it. It's rude.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you know how she says, come on and let me out?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. My sister changed the lyric, but it was, like, made me laugh a lot. Yeah. We'll be back again with another podcast soon. come on and...
Okay. So... goodbye.
I love doing this with you. It's great fun.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So we got Wednesday that we're recording it on Saturday.
Anglers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vanglers.
On location at the Vanglers. Worst logo ever.
Worst logo ever. Good venue. Fun place. Like it. You should come to Anglers on Saturday. And
yeah.
Come to Anglers on Thursday. Saturday. Right? And if you come at 2 o'clock, you can be in the live studio audience of the podcast.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. If anyone wants to, we'll do it at 2 o'clock and we'll meet you and you can come up and we'll include you in the podcast.
What a nice idea.
Yeah. Sorry. I've decided that, but...
No. It's like, man, I'm up for anything. You know that.
Well, except for telling your parents you have a bike.
Goodbye. Go and turn the thing off.
See ya. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. New beer.
Oh,
no.
I broke it. Oh, it's only an hour and 13.